Woo!
Hey everybody, we were just getting all amped up for this podcast. We were doing some of this to awaken our inner rhythm and
thigh drums, slap drums,
whatever. Slap drums, thigh drums, face drums.
I've never done that.
Because this is the Men Who Attract podcast. I'm...
This is David T.
And he's... Andy. You've got to figure out how to do that.
You
how
can
to
tell
introduce we... each other in a humorous way that makes us sound like we can also still be taken seriously at the same time. But we'll figure that out. This is only podcast number 2. Thanks for joining us. We had some nice feedback from the last one. It was a really kind of spontaneous... little endeavor last time. We hadn't really planned it all that much, and I want to keep it like that anyway, not over preparing is what makes nothing happen, because you want it to be perfect and you can't handle things going wrong. Well, I can handle things going wrong. What about you, Andy?
Yeah, and that's a perfect analogy or comparison you can make to dating, like, just do it.
To meeting people in general, isn't it? Like, all the questions that the guys ask, and we've got some questions to answer for you guys. The questions are always, well, usually about either how can I be happier, how can I improve my lifestyle, what supplements should I use. That's like 20% of the questions, but the 80% is, how do I meet women, how do I be confident with that, what do I do, how do I deal with all these different situations that come up. So we've got some questions that are asked in our group by some of the members this afternoon. So we're going to go through those in a moment. When we get going. If you haven't joined our group already, we've got two, basically. The main one that I'm paying most attention to is the Men Who Attract Mastermind and Daily Accountability group. That's the one that you'll find in the link on whatever podcast platform you're hearing this on. There's a URL that you can click on, but if you just type into Facebook, these are Facebook groups, by the way. I can't remember if I mentioned that they're Facebook groups, not just groups where we meet in the park every Saturday or something.
And they are closed, so they're private. You can share your information with confidence that no one else will see it.
Your wife's not going to find out that you're trying to learn how to pick up girls. So yeah, good point there, actually. Yeah, so do join us, and it's all about, well, support, encouragement. It's a place for you to ask questions and get answers from guys who are also on the same kind of journey as yourself, and also for guys who have been there and done that and overcome all the a lot of the common problems that guys have when we're trying to make our way in this life. So there's that. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well, because this is number 2. Normally I've only ever done number 1 and never got around to doing, you know, lots of things in life. We only do one thing. I think if we can do a third, then we're pretty much into a routine and into a habit. So I'm keen on it. We've got a lot to talk about. So if you find that the content of this podcast informative, useful, entertaining, then yeah, obviously do subscribe, because it also encourages us to continue. The amount of feedback from the last one was encouraging enough for us to want to go ahead and do this one. And let's crack on with some topics of the day, and then we'll answer some questions. Andy,
We also have coaching available. The things that we talk about are like the what and the why, but if you really want to get into the how, it's complicated. That's why coaching is so powerful. Both David T and I offer coaching. Dave is very experienced in it. I'm getting the hang of it. And it's the way forward to, if you're stuck, this is how to get unstuck.
Absolutely. It's to work with someone who actually wants to see you succeed and has a vested interest in making sure that you do. Mm. Yeah.
Also, there's two types. There's a course that you'll find on the website, and also a boot camp, which is more involved, one-on-one, powerful stuff.
There you go. So today in the group, I asked, what do you want us to talk about in the podcast? And the topic that drew my eye first, the one that draws my eye most strongly, even though it wasn't the first suggestion, Francis Rahr suggested we talk on this topic of personal authority. Do you know what personal authority is, Andy? I had to Google it. I had a wild guess of what it might mean.
Yeah, I wonder if the definition that you got is similar to the one that I had. For me, it meant making my own decisions that were based on how I feel about the situation and moving forward from there, rather than, for instance, in my own life, my mom told me to go to college and I didn't want to, so later on I decided not to. I considered that a personal authority, taking charge and quitting.
Like doing what you want to do, or rather authorizing yourself, giving yourself the authority to do what you know is most likely to work out best for you, which is great as long as you're not taking the easy options, the comfort zone option. That's the thing that humans are consistently guilty of.
That's true.
Apart from guys like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the example I always mention.
Wait, what? He
always takes the hard option. His mantra is be the hardest working man in the room. I think his uncle taught him that, because his uncle was a wrestler, and obviously Dwayne The Rock Johnson was a wrestler before he got into acting.
So that's what he's cooking.
That's what The Rock is cooking. It smells like that, at least.
It smells like the hard thing.
So, I've got to turn off Messenger on my laptop, otherwise you're just going to get interruption.
That's a very human moment. Here comes the distraction.
How do I do it? How do I turn off chat? Does it just...
Oh, I don't know if Facebook will let you.
I've just turned off the chat sounds. Turn off active status. There we go. For all contacts. There we go. So I've got the laptop open just to see what people have asked us in the group. Personal authority, then. It comes under the same umbrella as self-belief, and also in the way that you address people, the way that you position yourself when you're with new people. If you want them to take you seriously and respect you, you have to have a certain way about you and a certain way with them. It's usually that kind of like warm but firm thing. So it's all with love, because you want to cooperate with them and you want to get things done. But you've got to like be firm and have boundaries and things like that. It just reminds me of when I worked as a pub crawl guide again. I always give the example of that, because that's when I learned so much about how to deal with people and get them on your side, like within having said three things to them, just in a very short amount of time. I needed them to know that they had to do as I say and follow my instructions, but you know, with love, and it's for your benefit. But that's often dealing with drunk people too, so you really need to be good at getting to the point without allowing them to have a moment to be distracted by something else. Personal authority, you're presenting yourself as an authority, commanding tone and all of that. But yeah, Francis gave us a very vague two words to work with there, just personal authority. How can we build it? How can we develop it?
I feel like knowing what you want clearly is where to start.
Owning what you want. Owning the fact that you want it.
Taking it seriously.
Rather than being ashamed or embarrassed about it, or seeing yourself as someone who's not worthy of it. Definitely. Mm-hmm. I was raised to be a humble, small person who was to move out of the way for the big important ones to come through and get what they want. That was how I was raised, you know, let them go first. And we're the low class people, and those people over there, they have the nice things. So therefore, I as a young adult, I used to present myself in the world as that guy, as someone who asked permission all the time and apologized for everything, even for wanting things and for liking things or for being attracted to a girl or something like that. It was something that I was like, sorry about this, I know it's probably a massive inconvenience to you, but I like this, I want this, I like you. So to like stand up and take a big deep breath and shake that off and realize that I have just as much right to enjoy life and have what I want as anyone else, which is something that you can remind yourself of every day out loud. And to do that, just you then start to move in life under the assumption that you can have what you want and not have to apologize and not have to kind of keep a low profile and don't dare to try anything risky or overly challenging or that might make you famous or might rock the boat. I mean, you start to push outwards on the reality that was kind of crushing down on you and keeping you small. You start to realize that that reality wasn't crushing down on you so with such intensity, or the amount of strength that you suspected it or always believed that it had. When you start to experiment with, for example, being super kind with people without needing them to love you in return, like helping people, doing things for people. When you start experimenting with asserting yourself and like taking your place in certain situations or in life in general, you generally start to realize that people are waiting and ready to give you what you want. Not least of all because they suddenly know what you want and they know who you are. They can feel you. You're appearing with more strength, with more power, with more presence. People, we are glad to give people what they want when we know what they want and when we can see it's for not just their enjoyment a benefit and our loss. It's like a mutually beneficial arrangement. We want to get involved in that, but we don't want to do it with someone who's asking for what they want in a very kind of apologetic and weak way. We like to cooperate with people who invite us to do things with them or share things with them with the word let's walk down here, let's go and have a coffee in this place, let's go for a run, let's start a business, rather than, I know this might sound weird, but do you want to maybe have a coffee with me sometimes? Personal authority, that the guy with presence and the guy who people want to cooperate with and do things with is the one who says let's do this, because it's like a selfish thing, but it's good for them too.
Yeah. It kind of takes the pressure off of them to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I often think of it in this way. You should be your number one priority. Everyone else can be number two still. That's really high on the priority list. Mm-hmm. And since you're taking care of yourself, you can often take care of others. But if you need to take care of yourself, that needs to come first before you can take care of others. It's a form of self-respect in many ways, especially because the more you respect yourself and take care of your shit, the more you're able to actually do things and follow through with your personal authority, the more you feel like an authority because your shit's together.
Mm.
People will see it on you, they can respect it, and then it's like a vicious cycle, just increasing your authority and I lost the word for it, but look like an authority and act like one. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like some people we encounter them and we're like, oh, this person isn't used to having nice things happen to them. This person isn't used to being treated well. You can tell by the fact that they look down rather than at you. They look not down at you. I mean, they look at the floor instead of at your eyes because they see themselves as like a lower status person than you. Wait, personal authority boils down to carrying yourself as a man of status.
Mm. That you matter.
Yeah. Those who carry themselves as a lower status person, we don't want to give them what they want because they would be too happy about it. It would be too much of a big thing for them. It would, it's like this person is used to being treated not so well. Well, I don't want to not conform. There's that too, isn't there? We want to conform. So when somebody walks in the room and they're like keeping themselves small and everyone is treating them as such, so basically the point is not treat people badly because they look like it. Like we can actually be ones who break that chain and be really respected for that. But don't be that person yourself. Carry yourself as someone who people treat well, and if you don't know how to do that, well, let us explain it right now. It's like accept people when you first meet them, like be warm with them, look right at them when you first meet them, smile at them, take an interest in them, just make yourself known, and then you can exit. You don't have to like stick around trying to prove yourself. Just give them a very strong but short first impression. you know, stand up tall with your, you know, stand straight with your shoulders back and all of that, and look people in the eye, and that's, and speak with conviction, project your voice, and those are all the indicators of, yeah, this person is okay, this person isn't a problem person, this isn't like a low status person, this person doesn't hate themselves, or at least if they do, they're doing a good job of pretending they're not, of hiding it, covering it up.
Yeah, because they're taking care of themselves, then you don't have to worry about them. Mm-hmm. They're not going to crumble. You know, if something goes wrong, they can handle it. You don't have to step in. And,
yeah, they're not a burden on you.
Should we mention some examples of personal authority in our lives?
In our lives? Yeah, go for it.
I have one. My dad in particular, he doesn't travel as much as I want to travel. I want to go everywhere, and he's kind of content in sitting at home. He'll tell me things like, watch out for the acts of terrorism. Oh, have you heard? In this place that you want to go, did you hear there was an attack? And it's like, wow. You know, basically my point is I wanted to go to Lithuania, which is a very strange place to Americans. Most have never heard of it. They don't know where it is. And I was going there alone, and my father and my grandmother were like kind of discouraging me from it. And I was using my personal authority, like, look, this is an important decision. I relied on the fact that I knew clearly that I wanted to go, and that I trusted myself to take care of myself, that I was taking care of what needed to be done to make sure I'm safe and have the funds and all of that. So they bombarded me with discouragement, and like, it can be like really subtle with family members. Like, they know where your buttons are. But yeah. I went, and it was amazing. I made the decision and followed through with it, and it was because I know what I want, I made a good decision.
You can protect your children from the reality of life, and you're making them weak, and it's something that all parents should basically be ashamed of and embarrassed about and should apologize to their children for. But parents, because they raised you, they brought you into this world, they think that they know more than, that they know better than you, and that they own you, and that you owe
them. They're the authority over you.
Yeah, and it's nonsense. You should listen to your children. They see things without all the shit that your head is full of. Kids ask embarrassing questions when they're young. Like, why does Uncle so-and-so do this thing? And like, oh, we don't talk about that. Something like that, you know. Why is so-and-so sad?
I have a little brother when he was younger. I just remember this story my grandma told me. They were in a shopping line, and he just points at the guy in front of him and like, tells my grandma, he's a fatty. Mm. It was, just go
for it. Yeah. And it's like, also, you know, parents and grandparents are from a harder time than the time we're in now. They're from, you know, war times and times of less opportunity and all of that, where men had to be real tough men, and these days guys who aren't so tough can be way more valuable in terms of financial resources because they've got computer skills, for example. There's been a shift in all of that. But as a new person arriving in a mismanaged and fucked up scarcity-based world, you shouldn't be listening to your parents unless they have demonstrated massive success combined with massive happiness and fulfillment. Don't listen to your parents if they're very successful in, for example, business or in whatever career they're in, but they are miserable, unhappy people with no social skills, or, you know, they're not popular, or, you know.
That's a phenomenal point. The authorities, so personal authority is important, and also recognizing authorities you can count on. And that is a great, like, where if you want to be in that person's life and like thoroughly, like they're happy, they're living the lifestyle, they're doing the things that you want to do specifically, they could be an authority. They know how to get there. They know what they're doing. You could learn from them. That's someone good to listen to. If they give you advice, listen. Yeah. Wink, wink.
There we go. So yeah, guys, if you have any feedback for us or anything that you want to ask us, there's also a link in the description where you can send us a voice message. I'm not sure how it works. No one's done it yet. But if you want to be the first, go for it and we'll answer your question there, particularly on the topic of personal authority, that subject. I'm going to move on to the next topic that Cameron Sherrod has asked this time. He's a member of our mastermind group, Men Who Attract Mastermind and Daily Accountability Facebook group, which you should join if you haven't already.
You can ask when we post what we are going to talk about on podcasts, you'll be able to specifically mention what you want and have your questions featured here. That's a perk of being part of the group.
That's what I meant. Didn't I say that?
Yeah.
I meant to say it extra clear. You've heard it from two guys now. It must be true. Basically, Cameron Sherrod wants us to talk about approaching girls, and he gives us a bit more information. He says, I'm a good-looking guy. I've been told by many people, and I get nervous talking to them, girls, I assume, because I might be rejected, and girls' attitudes can suck sometimes. I'm a very tall guy. I'm 6'5". I'm well-dressed, in whose opinion, but I get nervous, so I don't approach. Sometimes I think the worst when girls look at me. I used to do that. Same. I'm also an introvert, so I don't talk to many people, and also habits that... Oh, and he also wants us to talk about habits that successful people have. We can pepper a few of those in, as we always do. I'll just quickly mention the introvert thing. Being an introvert is so helpful if you want to, you know, meet girls. Because basically, an extrovert is someone who's good in a group of people. An introvert, you're okay with yourself, but if you're a lonely introvert who doesn't want to be alone and wants a girl or girls or a friend, really you want to be interacting with one person. I think that's the craving, and introverts are good at that, because do you know what, everyone's an introvert, really. I think so many people, it's very rare I meet a natural extrovert. It's just not normal. It's normal to be an introvert, especially when now less and less people are used to eye-to-eye, face-to-face contact. It's a lot of phone-based stuff now.
It's almost worth just throwing out that vocabulary, not using it. You're just person. Anytime I hear that, I just hear an excuse that doesn't...
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a useful bit of information, really.
Introvert, yeah. So, approaching girls as a tall, good-looking guy who girls look at and check out, being afraid of rejection, and girls' attitudes can suck sometimes. Everyone's attitudes can suck sometimes.
I want to mention something about the height real quick. I'm like perfectly average height in the US. And I've had silly insecurity of being like, wow, I don't stand out with my height. Mm-hmm. And now here's a guy... tall, oh man, I stand out too much, or like a guy who's short, like that's also a non-issue. Mm-hmm. Especially if you like tall girls, which you probably do because they're a little bit closer to your height. They are out there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. An almost another non-issue, worth focusing on. That's my point.
But as a coach, I love, and I have to love this, calling men out on their bullshit. A lot of the men that have come to me for help have been quite short, and the first thing they say is, well, I'm a short guy, so that doesn't help me. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Some of the most charismatic, lovely, popular with women men that I know are the shortest men that I know. I will name them: Alex Smith, Patrick Ananda, I can't think of any others right now.
Tom Cruise.
I don't know him personally.
Great friends
though.
With him. Oh,
yeah. Oh, you're from the States.
When I'm, you
know him. You know who I'm.
Yeah, he's my imaginary friend.
Oh, okay. But yeah, if you're like, if you're willing to show up and live in your power and be warm towards people and be accepting, like accept people warmly into your, like accept and warmly welcome people into your reality, you know, the people who you choose. then you'll get a lot of love for that because you're putting love out there. And that's exactly what the guys I've just mentioned do. And they're little midgets. They're not midgets, but they're very below average height.
I think
so. I will not accept height as an excuse. It's all personality and your approach to life.
Yeah, we just deconstructed the bullshit out of there. Mm-hmm. That's not really part of the question. That's excuses that don't matter. Uh-huh. But I also I wanted to say, I think I got this from you. If you're okay with it, the girls will be okay with it.
Yeah.
To the degree that you're okay with it. Mm-hmm. If you literally don't give a fuck, if you love your height, find some stupid excuse that doesn't even have to make sense why you can love how high you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then just hang on to that, and that'll be that really helpful.
Yeah, it's the same thing I used to have when I used to get asked about my age, and I used to either lie about my age or tell the truth, but in a very kind of apologetic way. Whereas these days, and for the last 5 years or so, I say my age in a very, you know, I own how old I am, and I say it in a very loving, I love being this age, I own it, loud and proud kind of way. And the difference is basically, when I used to say, I'm 31, yeah, I know that sounds terrible, but I'm 31, girls would just go, he doesn't like being himself, he probably doesn't know how to fuck me, bye-bye. Whereas now I'm like, yeah, I'm 40. I'm like, okay, shall we shag now or shall we shag later?
Great line.
Cameron wants us to talk about approaching girls. And then he lists all of his excuses, all the things that are making it less than as straightforward as it actually is.
Yeah, so step one, cut out the bullshit.
Step one, cut out the bullshit. In fact, step one, you can pay no attention to the bullshit at all. In fact, step minus one is cut out the bullshit. And step actual one is move towards the person that you want to make yourself known to. Let's frame it like that. You're not trying to fuck anyone. You're not trying to chat people up. You're making yourself known. Step one of becoming a liked and trusted and valued and desired person is to be known by people. Known by the person who could become, you know, someone who likes, trusts you and values you and wants to be with you and experience and share life's adventures and all that. If they don't know about you, no chance of any of that. And making yourself known is such a simple step. And you can make it such a quick conversation. And there's so little pressure on you because you haven't got to stand there being an entertainer. You haven't got to capture and hold their interest for any long period of time. You've not got to like give them your life story or stand there trying to prove yourself or trying to build a connection. You can just lay down the foundation of a connection by making yourself known to someone very quickly and then going back to what you were doing previously. And in the past, I've been walking down the street or riding my bike as I do recently. I did this when I was feeling absolutely horrible on Friday. I was really darkly depressed on Friday afternoon in particular, and I was riding my bike to clear my head, and I thought one way to give myself a rush of happiness was to a girl I'd just gone past on my bike who was actually waiting to cross the street, which just seems to be where I meet all girls lately when they're waiting to cross the street.
Yeah, that's a goldmine for you.
Yeah, I've gone past her and I thought, her legs look very nice. So I kind of circled back round and I just went up to her and I thought, all I'm going to do is just make myself known. I'm not going to put any pressure on myself to be somebody who she could consider dating or fucking or even being a friend of. I'm just going to make myself known to her in a very cool way. And I went up to her and I said something like, excuse me, I don't think we've met before. Looking at her curiously just to make sure, because she, I met so many people here, I don't even, I forget half the people I've met. And if ever you walk around in Warsaw with me, you'll probably see the results of that. People say hello to me and I don't know who the fuck they are. In this case, no, she was a stranger. I said, well, I thought I should come meet you because you look very, very nice. And she went, oh, thank you, that's really nice. What are you up to? Told her what I'm up to. And I said, anyway, I've got to go and do the thing that I'm up to, which was just going somewhere. If I see you around again, we'll say hi. Keep being gorgeous. Bye. And just left it like that. No need to number close her or get her details or anything like that. And it made me feel good. And if I walk into a bar, or if I'm in the supermarket, or if I'm walking down the street and she's there and she, well, and she's there, she's likely to see me and recognize me because I look a certain way. I'm the bold guy with a beard and usually a flowery shirt or a black t-shirt. I'm quite, like, I look the same all the time. And, you know, the impression I gave her was like short and to the point, but very warm, very friendly, a little bit flirty, but very fast interaction, like perhaps under a minute, maybe 2 minutes maximum. I don't know, a very short amount of time. And she's already warmed up to me. We're already warm. So chances are I could spot her across the room or across the fruit and veg section in the supermarket, and I could move towards her and she'll be, oh, it's you again. And or she might see me first and could come up to me. And I found that to be a very powerful way of making yourself known, and even letting that snowball into becoming quite a well-known and quite popular guy. Because the thing I used to do before was I used to do this day game thing where every approach had to be an attempt to close there and then, like trying to get her on an instant date or trying to get her contact details and then trying to text game her into meeting and all of this. And it just creates a lot of, like, you become the one guy known in a large town or city where lots of people know you as that guy who tried to approach me that one time, that guy who tried to chat me up. Whereas if you leave it kind of open, this with a lot of people, rather than trying to close lots of girls, lots more opportunity, and you become a lot more well-known, trusted, liked, and valued person. Mm-hmm. That's how to approach girls.
When you are always closing, ABCing, always be closing, you are often come across as socially unaware, because if there wasn't like a strong vibe going, like, wow, this is awesome, like, mm-hmm. let's keep doing this. That's, if you're feeling that, if you're feeling like, oh, it's really driving, like, the, yeah. it's just clicked, like fire on, like, yeah. man, we need to get out of here. Grab her contact information. That'll make sense. That's like socially aware. But if it's just like, hey, you seem cool. Okay, yeah. you know, we didn't have much time to talk. Let's just leave it at this. This makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then when you run into each other, then there's another moment to like develop that and see if there's a click. Because sometimes that click comes longer. That's an amazing hat. I wish you guys could see his hat.
Yeah, I just put a hat on. It's really good.
Yeah, it's a beautiful hat. But yeah, so open them for life is how you talk about it.
That's... Yeah, opening for life. That's, I coined that phrase. I named the concept. And
it's copyrighted.
Yeah, you're not allowed to even say those words. But if you do, you've got to give me 0.001
gazillion dollars.
Is it like Turkish lira or something? yeah, I can't remember what the lawyer told me, but he was Turkish.
Okay, I just saw something that calling it an approach yeah. is also a little bit unnatural. You're just. Mm-hmm. As you're saying, making yourself known, or as I like to say, just saying hi.
Say hello, say hi. Yeah.
And when you think of an approach, you just think of all those YouTube videos where you mm-hmm. saw the guy run up to her. That's not always how it is. And when you put on your yeah. the pressure to have it look like that, it's uh-huh. just throwing you off. You can, David T meets him always at the corners of the streets when they're crossing the road. I usually see them like, walking next to me where I don't have to run next to them. I just like turn and say, hey, what's yeah. up? I'm walking this way, so are you, you know. So what step are we on now with cut out the bullshit?
Well, yeah, step one, make yourself known. Step two, enjoy. Keep making yourself known to more and more people in this real low pressure style of approach. That you can do again and again and again. And don't go out deliberately to... Okay, you can do it once or twice to just see for yourself how it works. Deliberately go out and do that. Like approach like 20 girls in a day and just do that. But then don't become one of those guys who's doing that like for months or even years. And there are plenty of guys out there who are going out trying to close every girl and they do it every single day or several times per week for several months and several years, and they become these like socially unaware weirdos who are all about spreadsheets and tracking the number of closes and how many dates they went on and all this nonsense and like timing each approach. Set, they call it a set.
Very contrived.
So it's, yeah, it's not natural. The cool thing about the way that we're doing and teaching is that you don't have to lie. You don't have to lie that it was a random encounter. It really is going to be a random encounter each time you meet a person. And that means you can rely on the truth, which will make you less nervous. And if you are nervous, by the way, dude, and you said that you're nervous about getting like rejected or having to deal with an attitude that sucks. If you're nervous, it's always best to say that you're nervous. And I sometimes am, and I will just say it out loud. Oh, look, you made me really nervous. I'm usually much better at talking to people, but I've been on my computer all day and I've forgotten how to make normal sentences. Plus, you're really pretty and it makes me nervous. I've said that to girls plenty of times, or words to that effect, words of that meaning. And it's never ever been met with a rejection. It always gets more acceptance because you've been real, you've been human, you've been honest, you're not trying to present yourself as something that you're not, something that you'd rather be. You're just relying on who and what you really are and the situation that you're really in to get you through. Women dig that shit. Women love that shit. Mm-hmm. They lap that up.
When you're okay with yourself, they're okay with you. Yeah. To the degree that you're okay with yourself.
Okay with being nervous, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually, if you do day games so much that you don't think it's weird anymore, you become unrelatable. It is a weird thing. It should be a little bit awkward and strange because it is. And not that you're saying hi to people, but that, like, going out of your way and just focusing only on approaching girls instead of having a life going on around it. You know, the context of like, hey, I have things going on in my life, but as I'm going to do the thing that's cool in my life, I see you and I want to invite you in on the cool thing that is my life. That's the sauce.
There you go. Also, keep in mind that anytime you see a really genuinely attractive girl, a really genuinely really beautiful girl, you will be in a state of surprise. You know, it's a surprise. Yeah. Unless you live somewhere where everyone's absolutely gorgeous, but some girls, you know, the ones who really make you go, oh my god, you're in a state of surprise, and it's okay to bring that state of surprise. I do talk all the time about being the calmest person in the room, the calmest man in the room, and talking about being calm at the same time as it's okay to be nervous. Well, let me explain that. And, you know, being surprised yet calm. It's kind of, if you're calmly handling the fact that you're nervous, if you're calmly handling the fact that you're surprised, then it's good. But if you're like, if you're nervous,
you're trying to hide it.
Yeah, like if you're nervous and then you feel bad about the fact that you're nervous, you're reacting to the nervousness with this feeling of, oh, I don't like this, I don't like me, I don't, why is this going like this now? That's not good. But observing the nervousness and recognizing that it's just what humans do, you get to detach from it and not see yourself as nerves. You see the nervousness as something that's happening to you rather than it being like
controlling you.
Yeah, defining you. So yeah, and being the calmest man in the room is just fucking amazing. You've got to work on your calm.
And you get that from being so okay with being nervous all the time that you're suddenly not nervous anymore. Yeah. Right? It's like comes full circle. And it's okay, like...
Well, you just train your mind to respond to things in a calm and considered way. In meditation.
Yeah.
Anyone who's listening who isn't into meditation and yet is complaining about the usual things that men complain about in a dating life, well, shut up, go and meditate, then come back and see if you have the same questions. Because, and I don't just do it once like so many guys do. By the way, guys, here is how to have a massive advantage in the dating scene and in life. Meditate every day, 20 minutes a day. Just do it, because you'll learn. You'll learn from the part of you that you weren't paying attention to, your most intelligent part, your unconscious mind. You'll be accessing yourself without distractions, and your thoughts are distractions. You'll be connecting with the deep down inner you, the powerful one. And you start to realize that a lot of your behaviors and automatic responses to challenges and situations were less than optimal for you.
Bullshit.
Less than optimal. So you can start to replace them with a more, more calmly, intelligently considered ways of going about things. So meditate, motherfuckers.
Yeah, if you take one thing away from this podcast, it's meditate, motherfuckers.
And subscribe. Meditate and subscribe. Let's move on to Adam Ruskowski. He is a member of our mastermind group, and he says, yeah, if you guys can talk about how to frame how to have sex with a girl and keep things casual, that'd be great.
Wait, are you the guy, the boss from the office?
What's his name?
Office Space.
Office Space. Because he started it with yes, right? Yeah, if you could just take your things. If you could just move your desk down to storage B, that'd be great. I love that movie. Although I've not been able to watch the whole thing because I watched like a downloaded, like torrented version, and it cuts out at about like 82%.
Oh.
And every version of it cuts out.
Wow.
So I've never seen the ending. So I assume they'll die.
It's been so long since I've seen it, I don't remember.
Man, I assume aliens, huge aliens come out of the sea and start to attack the office space.
Okay, thanks for spoiling
that. Well, I'm guessing that's what happens. No, okay. I could be wrong.
You're totally wrong.
Massive alien monsters come out of the sea.
They're octopus.
They have to build like huge like robots that they have to be controlled by two people.
Oh, it's the prequel for that Japanese Godzilla. That's Godzilla. Office space. Prequel to Godzilla.
Okay, I was thinking of another one that's a bit like that.
Pacific Rim.
Pacific Rim. That's Job. Actually what I was thinking. Pacific Rim Job. It was a porno, remake. Pacific Rim Job. Does anyone make that?
Okay, there's so much we could go off.
Can we go up on podcast 3? Pacific Rim Job.
Since there has to be two people to make the robot go.
Yeah.
They have to fuck well to make the robot go. This is
hard. Yeah, yeah.
There's actually, I think, an anime about that.
Two guys are getting a rim job. Oh, no. You talk about something else.
Yeah, we're supposed moving to be the way.
We're supposed to be the coaches for intelligent men. We take a mature approach to attraction. Let's get on with Adam's question then. If you talk about how to frame how to have sex with a girl and keep things casual. And then he says, also, if possible, how their friends can still see you as the sex-worthy guy.
Oh, he wants to just...
He wants to not get tied down to one girl, he says. He wants to be the fuckboy. Yeah. So, yeah. Do what I used to do. Which is not behave as a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. If you want to be treated as a casual sex partner. If you want to be treated and regarded as a casual sex partner, you've got to behave as one. So, quit with all the boyfriend shit that guys do when they're trying to get a girl to sleep with them.
Yeah. So what's specifically boyfriend shit?
Oh, it's the boyfriend shit. It's like walking around holding hands and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's
lovey-dovey shit.
Yeah, like thinking about her all the time when she's not around. Yeah. Looking forward to the next meeting more than once a week. Dinner dates.
Seeing her too much. If you're seeing her like every day, that can communicate like this is kind of serious. If you do it like once a week. Every weekend, maybe. Maybe that's... I had a situation like this. I was trying to keep it casual. I made a weird mistake. I actually really liked her.
Mm.
And I should have taken it more serious. We didn't do anything for Valentine's Day. So if you want to keep it casual, make sure that you actually want... Make sure you don't actually like her enough to... date her more seriously, because I made that mistake and lost her. She was a phenomenal girl. It was pretty sad. So Yeah, don't do Valentine's Day if you want to keep it casual.
Also, be an openly sexual, talking about sex kind of guy. Talk about girls that you know. Talk about other girls and other experiences you had. Don't keep the fact that you're a sexual man with a penis a secret, you know?
The dance of sex starts immediately as soon as you meet a girl.
Even before flirty. Sometimes.
Yeah, before.
So, it's really that. It can also work the other way. Yeah, the reason why guys generally don't behave that way is because they're afraid of not having sex as a result of being seen as that sex guy.
Yeah, or you're just a player.
That's just because it's... combined with like a bad attitude or something, then yeah. Or, I mean, if you're arrogant about it, if you brag about sex, or if you treat people badly, or if you're not a good listener, if you're not good at like being present and calm with a girl.
If she sees you as a liability, like, is this guy gonna talk about our sexual adventures to everyone and blather? Or is he gonna be like, treat me bad? Is it not gonna be fun because he's gonna have sex with me and then just be done with me, or is he going to treat me like a human, and it's going to be fun and lighthearted, and I'm, you know, the girl's willing to be along for the casual ride because it's pleasant. It's not quite a relationship, but it is, in a way, it's a relationship. It's just lighthearted. It doesn't have the serious tones to boyfriend-y stuff.
Mm. Exactly. What Andy said. Yeah. Guys, if you have any suggestions, your own... feedback on that topic, or any questions on these topics of being a man who attracts, don't forget you can send us a little voice message via the anchor.fm service. There should be a link somewhere in the description of the podcast. Also, don't forget to check out our coaching programs. We've got one called, well, the main flagship one is called the Reset Online Training, and it's over on menwhoattract.com under the mentorship link. Which explain to you what that's all about. I might even tell you right now what it's all about. Should I just tell them?
Tell them.
Yeah. So it's like a month-long Skype-based thing where you do a session with me at least once per week, like an hour and a half usually, and we discuss what's going on with you and what's holding you back. We establish where you're getting in the way of yourself, and then I set you a bunch of homework exercises, and we do clear, specific action steps that are tailored towards you, along with lots of encouragement and support, and me eliminating your fears by explaining them to you in a logical, rational way that is very good at shifting limiting beliefs and all of that. There's that alongside the online content that's part of the programs. There's a whole bunch of videos and written content in there, including some tools, including a tool called the filter shift, which is a thing that trains your mind to become way more aware of opportunities and less aware of what's wrong that you can't fix.
AKA bullshit.
Bullshit. It puts you in the right frame of mind to approach each day and make the most of a bad situation and make the most of a good situation. And it basically, bottom line is, it gives you confidence because you get to trust that things will work out in a way that you can handle and make the most of, which is really the essence of being a confident man, isn't it? It's knowing that even if things don't go well, I can handle it. I can get through this. So I wonder if I've sold that beautifully.
I'm going to sell it even more because I want to explain how I met you and how I'm here right now, because it's been quite a journey. I found David T and I was like, wow, I like that he's talking about this in a way that makes sense to me, which is like treating women like people, and without all the weird PUA game style stuff. This was like, it was for intelligent men. Like, it made sense to someone who understands that there's more to it than all the flashy, like, YouTube videos and the infield shit. So I loved that about it, and I wanted to get into it deeper, so took his advice, and I loved it. It was really helpful, and I liked it so much that I wanted to work for him. I was like, hey, do you have any work for me? Just let me do work. Yeah. And I think I did that twice over like a few months spaced apart.
Yeah.
And it didn't really go anywhere then. But recently I was like, all right, fuck this. This is the last straw. I'm gonna just start doing work for him and show it to him. And if he likes it, he'll let me keep doing it. So I that's how much I like the stuff, guys. I'm just trying to sell it. I finangled my way here.
Yeah.
I believe in it so much. Exactly. And now here I am as a coach. You can hire me. I'll teach you the basics. David T will teach you the whole shebang.
Yeah. Nicely put.
The whole shebang. Shebang. Is that?
Shebangs. It's a song. Shebang.
Oh, yeah, she moves. Don't forget to sign up or join the Facebook group where you can find more goodies and chime in on these podcasts and get your answers questioned. Mm-hmm. Or wait, questions answered. Wow.
Get your answers questioned. Actually, I'm always having my answers questioned.
Honestly, we do that too. We definitely do that. I do that. I really challenge people on their answers to my questions I ask in the group. So your
questions answered.
I just got a question right now. Am I hungry, mate? From
James Holloway. James.
I am hungry, mate.
Is that one of your friends?
Yeah, he's an Englishman.
And he's been in Warsaw so long now, he has friends.
Woo!
Wow. Good shit. He's been putting himself out there. Mm-hmm. Meeting the right people.
Yeah.
And you got to meet some of the wrong ones first, along that way, until you start to find your tribe, and you've been doing that too, right? Mm-hmm. How's it been as the new guy? Like, do you get asked the same questions by absolutely everyone?
Oh, yeah. Why Warsaw? That's it. And
oh, my God.
And it's hard to answer because they give me such a, like, with an eye, like, why? Like, serious question, not a casual one.
Like, seriously, man, why the fuck do you come
to
Warsaw?
It's because I love it here. I want a different lifestyle than the American driving-centric lifestyle. Oh, and the pretty girls, that's definitely...
The locals, they can barely comprehend it. It's so boring here. Like, it's not really. It's actually a good place. The people are really nice. It's
wonderful. Yeah.
And there's pretty girls here, too. And it's not too expensive to live here. It's although the weather's disgusting in the winter and the summer. It's either too fucking hot or too cold. Today's been nice. But this is not a weather show. So we won't go...
Not yet, anyway.
When we run out of topics. But there's a load more topics that we're going to be doing, because we'll do this podcast until we can do it no more, until podcasts are no longer a thing. That was fun, eh?
Yeah, mate.
Cool. So there you go, guys. Don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening. Do give us some questions and ideas for the next podcast. And even if you don't, I have a load of stuff to talk about. It's going to blow your fucking underpants off. Like that. That's the sound effect. It just happened to Andy then. Just the thought of it.
Yeah.
Put your underpants back on, please, dude.
They flew down my leg.
All right, dudes. Thank you. And goodbye.
Bye-bye.